Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
Bringing our guy Ryan Wood here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, 105.7 FM, The Fan, as we are broadcasting live from our 13th annual Fan Charity Toy Drive, benefiting Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek at the Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Ryan, appreciate the time, man. Appreciate the patience. Heck of a game yesterday. Heck of a condition set for the Green Bay Packers and New York Giants to get into in a 31-13 Packer win, but how much really can we take away from a win like this in those kind of conditions against that kind of an opponent?
Yeah, I don't take much away from it. And the reason for that is I think the Packers are too good to take much away from that. I mean, it would be a disservice to how good they are to be like, oh, hey, they beat one of the worst teams in the NFL by 18 points. You know, it's not the same. It's not apples to apples, but this was like Auburn playing Jackson State. This is a team in the Giants, and the Packers can say as much as they want that, oh, they have all these one-possession games. The reality is they're 2-10, and they've lost 8 straight. They're a terrible football team. They're headed straight to the top 5 of the NFL draft. The Packers are not that. They're a good football team. This is what happens in this league when a good team plays a bad team. They were just too much for them. So I don't put much into that.
I don't know if you felt this way, but it looks like most of Packer fans was looking for something else. Like they were looking for some sort of signature win or this win to tell them something. And I don't know any more about this team than I did maybe last week. How about you?
Well, I think it was promising that in the end, they beat them pretty good. This was not a game. They beat them going away. And I know it was 17-13 in the second half, but they beat him going away. They didn't really trifle with him in that fourth quarter. So that's promising. That's what you want to see when a good team plays a bad team, and that's what you saw. The same questions that I have about this team still exist. You know, I think defensively, and I wrote about this today, like the blueprint for this defense, if it's going to make an extended playoff run, is what you saw yesterday. Because this defense is going to give up yards. At this point, Week 14 in the season, they're not going to stop giving up yards. That's who they are. They're bend but don't break. But they can give up yards if they win the turnover battle, harass the quarterback, and stiffen up in the red zone and don't give up touchdowns. Like they can, if they're able to do that, which is a big if, because you can do it against the Giants, doesn't mean you do it against the Saints or the 49ers, the Seahawks or the Vikings. It's a big if. But if they're able to do that, that's the blueprint. That's what it looks like for this defense. Offensively, I think it's several weeks ago that we talked about this, Gary. I still don't know what the identity is for this offense. I have no idea. You know, some days they throw it well. Other days they run it well. It's not a week-in and week-out thing on either side. That to me, they're really late in the season for me to be scratching my head about the identity of this offense.
Now, look, this isn't that hard. When Devontae Adams isn't playing, this offense is about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. When Devontae Adams is playing, it's about Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
So you want to get rid of Devontae Adams?
I didn't say that. He asked for the identity of the offense. That's what it is. If I'm an opposing team, baloney. If I'm an opposing team,
I love baloney, by the way.
If I'm an opposing team walking in, I'm not worried about Aaron Jones getting 20 touches in a game. It's not going to happen.
Oh, man.
It's just not with Devontae Adams. And this was my fear when Devontae Adams was hurt.
No.
Yeah, we saw how great Aaron Jones was. And I said, when Devontae Adams gets back, let's just see how this changes. And it has changed.
The reality is Aaron Jones didn't do much yesterday. It's not like he didn't get the ball. He had, what, like 17 yards on 10 carries, and I know that 10 carries isn't a lot, but when you're getting literally 1.7 yards per carry, or is it 1.7 yard per carry? I mean, it is a singular number, so it that's not much. And I tweeted it during the game, Aaron Jones is way too good of a running back to have this little production. Like, that's just odd. And I think that the field did have a lot to do with it. I walked across that field immediately after the game, and I don't know if I've ever walked on a field so slick. It was like an ice rink. Brian Bulaga, David Bakhtiari had to switch cleats at halftime, and it was like that for both sides. It's not an excuse, but it was hard for the offensive line to dig their cleats into the turf there that was frozen over and really get much push. That's why they were a lot better at pass setting, where you don't have to dig your cleats in as much. So, you know, I get what you're saying. I think ultimately the best version of this offense is when you have Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones both playing at superstar level at the same time. You have a triplet there with Aaron Rodgers. That's the best version. We haven't seen it yet. If they can unlock that somehow, that's when this offense can get really good. We haven't seen that yet, and I'm sorry, but this or that, half this, half that, that's not an identity. It's just not an identity.
And here's the thing, that it's been so good, Ryan. We talked Brewers for the last 15, 20 minutes, and then we had Gary telling some stories, which, although it was funny, I just don't think that people value wins unless they're with the style points that you want. And to take it further, I really think that as a player, now my view is going to always be how players look at it, because most players have been brought up in November, you make a move. I mean, either up or down. But when you get in December, it's not breaking news you're going to play two rookie quarterbacks. So when they're in the meeting room, they say, hey, listen, put your catcher's mitt on. He's going to throw you a couple of them. Yep. Are we going to every now and then give up a first down or two, a long drive? It may happen. But at the end of the day, we got to win these games, because we don't want to be like Philadelphia, you got beat by Miami. We do not want to be like some of these other teams who are trying to make a move. You know, they're trying to make a move, and they just can't. Dallas may win that division by default. They have to give it to somebody. So I applaud them for being focused and winning a game they were supposed to win.
Hey, the best thing they did on both sides of the ball yesterday was catch the ball. You know, that's all you got to do. That's not a knock on them at all.
Devontae did have a bad drop, and
he did.
To Steve's point. But to me, the chemistry that him and Aaron Rodgers, if you look at over the years, this guy's scored more touchdowns than not many receivers over the last 2 or 3 years have more touchdowns.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you guys this. Gary, Leroy, and Ryan, okay, and Billy, Billy as well. Gary, we'll start with you. Who has Aaron Rodgers had the best chemistry with?
Oh, okay, that's not breaking news. What is wrong? Go ahead, man.
Yeah, you know that.
No, just answer it for me. I got a point to it.
Who is it?
Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams.
No, Jordy Nelson was the receiver.
Jordy Nelson's not out
here. I'm talking about today,
I'm saying
right now.
In general.
Oh, in general, okay.
In my opinion, and I don't know if you all agree with me or not, he had better chemistry with Jordy. Sure. He had better chemistry with Randall Cobb. And then we get to Devontae Adams on that list.
Longer. Sure. Devontae's only been a number one receiver two years.
Okay, what's your point?
I understand that.
All right, what's your point?
Where my point going? Is this
oh,
isn't
wait, you
like
got two other guys
this,
to answer the question. This,
well, sorry. Go ahead, Ryan. I think Ryan would agree with me.
Well, yeah.
Jordy, I don't know that I would agree with Randall Cobb or Devontae Adams. What those two did last year with Randall Cobb still on the field was pretty darn special. I mean, they had a really special year together, Devontae and Aaron Rodgers. I don't know that I'd agree with it, Randall Cobb. But yeah, certainly the backshore fades. Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers, absolutely.
All right, Billy?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on Jordy Nelson. James Jones also is in there. Guy was with another team, and he came in the middle of the year after they lost Jordy and led the league in touchdowns.
My point on all of this is,
what's your point, see?
Yeah, wrap it back.
He's not Jordy Nelson with that chemistry where they're on the same page every single time and all that stuff. I think there is room to where you can still get Aaron Rodgers his touches within a football game and still get Devontae Adams his targets. Aaron Jones, sorry. Yeah, what did I say?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, sorry.
I know what you mean.
I think you can still get Aaron Jones his touches and still make Devontae Adams happy with targets. And for whatever the reason, they can't seem to figure it out. And I think that's the most frustrating part for those people that think Aaron Jones can be something in this league, because you saw it without Devontae Adams, and now, as predicted, that's gone away. And I don't know how anybody else can't be frustrated too, because in most situations when this team struggles on offense, it's because Aaron Jones can't get himself going.
This offense, Ryan, isn't about touches for players. This offense is about winning. Each week, somebody's going to be the hero. This week, it really could be Lazard. It could be his week. You're the guy. Next week, it could be Geronimo Ellison. Next week, it could be Jamal Williams. I don't think they get caught up into trying to get Aaron Jones into the Pro Bowl, just give him 40 carries and he's just losing 2 yards every other. I don't think LaFleur's going to do that. But I will say this, though, that, Ryan, answer this for me. If Aaron Rodgers is getting a play, I'm going to write something about this, but I want your expertise. If Aaron Rodgers is getting a play from LaFleur and he sees they have 13 men or 12 men on the field, does he just ignore him and go to the plus one play, the free play, or does he just has a call, mayday, mayday, and everybody knows what to run? Because it seemed like to me that Scantling is the one guy that's not on board with all this because they had a few kind of dust-ups. How does all that work? Have you ever asked him about that?
I haven't asked specifically, but it does appear it's apparent that that's built into the offense because if it wasn't, they wouldn't be as quick doing it as they are. And the fact that they're able to still catch them out off guard, it's apparent that Matt LaFleur has built that in the offense. But I want to make a point on this Davante Adams, Aaron Jones thing because I think it's important. This almost makes it worse. I don't think it's for lack of wanting to get Aaron Jones and Davante Adams involved at the same time. What was their first play of scrimmage yesterday? It was a throw to Aaron Jones. It was literally the first. It's not like they don't want to do it. I think the issue, they haven't figured out how to do it. And I remember
the
LA week asking everybody in that locker room, how's this going to work? Because you're implementing a Pro Bowl elite receiver into an offense that has been working a specific way and succeeding a specific way. I asked everybody in that locker room, I asked Matt LaFleur, and they all said it's a good problem to have. They're not worried about it. Well, here we are a month later, and it's not a good problem. It's a problem because it hasn't been figured out yet. And I think the biggest part of that is that they haven't been able to figure it out. Not that they don't want to. They haven't been able to figure that out, and that's concerning.
Well, because Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur haven't been able to figure it out. We just go ahead and put a name on it. That's the problem.
Yeah,
I mean, those two guys haven't figured out. I think Matt LaFleur honestly comes into the game. You're right. That first play, you knew it was going to be about Aaron Jones. They were trying to get him off. But I think there are sometimes that Rodgers goes off, and I think maybe I heard Pete Doherty. I think you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think Pete Doherty asked Matt LaFleur something about those plays, those third and short plays where he's throwing it long down the field. And you can hear Matt LaFleur kind of stumble through the question, And then I heard Pete then follow up that same question to Rodgers. He gave some answers. I just don't think they will be – I just don't think I just don't think that Rodgers and Matt LaFleur are on the same page on how to get Aaron Jones involved.
Yeah, to me it looks like more of a schematic thing than a quarterback thing, and it's something that Matt LaFleur just got to kind of figure out. There was a couple times underneath that it did look like – I remember one specifically where there was a linebacker sagged off of Aaron Jones a little bit, kind of in the – on a shallow left out route, and Aaron Rodgers threw deep instead. And even if the linebacker does his job, it might only be a three. It was second and five. It might only be a 3 yard gain. But take the 3 yards. The difference between third and five and third and two is substantial. You know what I mean? So I think there is a little bit of that, but I think scheme plays a part in it, and that's the bottom line for this offense.
I apologize. We got to get you out here. This is just good stuff. I want to defend Aaron for 1 second. The game plan, their secondary is so bad. So basically, they got three young guys in the back there. They're lining up incorrectly all day. They were just leaving guys wide open. So why don't just take that? So I know I understand people want, and I agree with that, to get the ball out, but he got guys running wide open down the field. So this is the game that's vintage Aaron Rodgers. This is the game to hold on to the ball. I mean, because you're going to get guys breaking open, wide open, and they want to take that. So I'm kind of in a way, that was the game plan. Let's go deep. Their weakness of their secondary. Mr. Biscuit throwed a touchdown on these guys. So you have to think that going into that, we're going to attack the weakness of that defense, the Giants, at the secondary, not the front seven. Leave those guys alone.
Well, that's they're start up. They're start up front.
Yeah, they're start. Leave that alone. That's banging your head on the wall. But these guys are so wide open the way he wanted to go down the field, and I agree with that. But I understand your point, though. You know, keep the chains moving. But, again, it looks so tantalizing. What is it, tantalizing?
Tantalizing.
That one too, Steve. Both of those words.
I'm here for you.
Because one right, one wrong, we'll let America figure it out. They got guys breaking open downfield, and I think he wanted to take that opportunity.
That's why I said that the best thing that they did was catch the ball. All right, defensively, yeah, all three picks were thrown right to him. Two of them, literally right to him. Yeah. Al Lazard, they just busted coverage on him a couple times, and you got to make those plays, and he did. But that's just, you know, they took what they gave. The thing is, though, I'm looking at everything with this team through the Super Bowl prism. Where are they in terms of getting to a Super Bowl? And getting over the hurdle means getting Aaron Jones and Davante Adams involved at the same time.
Leroy ain't worried about the Super Bowl, man. Leroy ain't worried about the Super Bowl.
Right, Leroy. Where's my meta?
No, Leroy ain't worried about Super Bowl. Leroy ain't trying to look through no prism, through nothing. He ain't worried about none of that. Right, because that's what most
people
I totally agree with you, because I think that's, at the end of the day, that's what most Packer fans are looking at. Man. Is this team good enough to get to a Super
Nobody
Bowl?
Nobody is right now.
That's the prism.
So I'm okay with it. Maybe in 2 weeks, I will start looking at it the way you and Garrett look at it. But now,
hold up.
Baby Tausch has some breaking news.
Breaking news. Hold
Go
up.
Ahead, Baby Tausch.
Hold up.
Yeah, Trevor Davis being waived by the Oakland Raiders today. First on it was Field Yates. So the Packers bring in a new kick returner. The one that they've traded away
Cut
and everybody
him.
Was all upset about is now available.
Cut him and bring in Trevor Davis.
That's too much.
No, this is happening. Oh, y'all made a mistake. We're going to waive him for no reason.
We got a pick.
They can have that pick. Just give me back him.
What? Would they go get him?
I would. I haven't done any reporting on this yet.
Did they waive him or did
so
they cut him?
Waived him.
Well, you may not get him. You got
no,
to
got
the waiver process.
So that'll be a long process, no doubt.
Yeah.
I would definitely put in a waiver claim, but somebody may grab him. A lot of people's special team is terrible, but you're the worst in the league. So if I was San Francisco or some of these teams, I'm going to grab him so you won't get him. Play that game.
San Francisco?
Yeah.
Seattle?
I don't know if I need him.
You know who's going to grab him, Seattle. Do they have a return guy?
You, Matt, Trevor Davis would be real good in that Seattle offense.
Man, come on. He looked better in the green and gold.
No, he
looked
good
at God.
Seattle.
We made a mistake, and God fixed it, and here's Trevor Davis.
Well, or you could just say, look at God, and here is Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ryan, appreciate it each and every time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for joining us again, man.
Well, that's very flattering, but you know, no problem. Hey, take care, guys.
That's Ryan Wood joining us.
You don't even not accept it. Come on, Ryan, accept it.
On the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Leroy, would you send Trevor Davis an Uptown Motors car to drive up from, once his flight gets into Milwaukee, drive up to Green Bay, or what?
Hey, man, I'll pick him up. I'm telling you, I just filled up my car. I tell you what.
It'll be like 8 hours before he gets there if he's driving him.
You're right, Steve, because I do drive slow. I do. But I'm going to tell you something. I got the 2020 Explorer. Claude, have mercy.
What that mean, Leroy?
Boy,
that mean
I pull up the rich folks at the light, Steve.
You racing?
And just look at them. No, I can't race them. I ain't got no money to pay the police to give me a ticket. But I'm serious. This is a testimony. This is no read. Okay, this is a testimony. A guy rolled his window down. Rarely do this, okay? I'm serious. Now, because I don't know if he wants to pull over to get a selfie. That's what I'm thinking, of course, being who I am.
Humble.
What type of truck is that, sir? I said, oh, it's the 2020 Explorer. Well, wait a minute. My daughter has one. I think a 2015 or something, but it doesn't look like that. I said, oh, this is the new redesigned Explorer. Oh, you're Leroy Butler. I said, wait a minute. You looking at my truck before you know it was me.
Looking at my truck.
But, you know, I just felt good about driving this thing.
Your voice got really high when you were talking to him?
You know I do, Steve.
That's what gave it away.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
The thing about Uptown Motor, they separate themselves because this time in this climate, everybody should have a 4x4 because of the weather. You know, we went through snow back and forth. We get rain, sleet. Sometimes we don't even know what's falling. You want to be on the road with something that's safe. And UptownMotors.com, you can go on there and pick the tab and say, I want to come and I want to just test drive a few vehicles. Now, one of my favorites, I'm driving the Explorer, but I love the F-150, America's best-selling truck over 25 years and growing. It's one of the best trucks that you can drive, that you're safe, and has all of the technology. One thing that people like is they have the CarPlay if you don't want to go through the sink. Matter of fact, they have both. It's your choice. They give you choices. Everybody in the back seat, Steve, everybody got their own power for their cord.
Nice.
They can recline. They got seat warmers. They have another nice thing that was some, blew my mind. Baby Todd, you'll like this. If you're driving in the Explorer and you have kids in the car, say if you have a few kids, not mine because they know better.
Lord knows not mine.
They take the seatbelt off, Steve. The alarm goes off. And it tells you who in the truck took off their seatbelt.
It comes up on like a display?
Yes. Oh. On the little, I mean, I was like, whoa. Okay, you back right, put your seatbelt on. Oh, I was just moving. No, put your seatbelt on. That's what Ford has done, bringing this kind of stuff to you. They have some great Lincolns, of course. Go to Uptown Ford. Go to Highway 100 and Mayfair Road. Just go in there and say, Leroy Butler, talk about these great trucks and cars all the time. What do you guys have, new or used? Give me a good deal because he said you'll take good care of me. And if he does, they will call me up and I'll give you a special gift for the holidays. That's UptownMotors.com and go to Uptown Ford today.
And that's the future Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, Leap 36, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, live from the 13th annual Fan Charity Toy Drive benefiting Children's Hospital and Robins Nest. Thank you. And our presenting sponsors, Bayview Shade and Blind and Annex Wealth Management, for their support and yours, helping us out at 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. It's Bayview Shade and Blind presenting here the Fans Toy Drive, 13th annual benefiting Children's Wisconsin and Robins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.